From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. In a few minutes, a look at the Dallas Arboretum's $2 million Christmas present. And the calendar might not say tomorrow's a holiday, but a lot of folks in North Texas will be celebrating. That's because it's the last day of monitoring for any North Texan who might have been exposed to Ebola. If all goes well, and so far it has, Dallas will be Ebola-free. Few will be happier about that than David Lakey. He's commissioner of the state's health department, and he sat down with KERA's vice president of news, Rick Holter.
David Lakey, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me today.
You must be planning on a big sigh of relief.
I am. It's been a very busy month. My sigh of relief isn't any greater than all those folks that we've been monitoring.
Do you expect any more cases of Ebola in Texas?
I think there's still a possibility, not related to this current event. Mm-hmm. I think next time it'll be very different. Individuals that are coming back are being identified, they're being screened, they're being monitored, and so they'd be identified very quickly. But as long as the epidemic in West Africa continues, I think there's always a potential that somebody could come back.
I'd like to talk a little bit about the Ebola Containment Center that's been opened in Richardson. It's a partnership between Methodist Parkland and UT Southwestern. Was this a real long-term commitment, or could this be seen just as a political move to calm people's fears?
I wouldn't say that it's a political move. I think in the midst of what was going on here in Dallas, we needed to quickly define a place where if there were several individuals that became infected, where we could care for those individuals. In my opinion and other people's opinion, we needed to get Presbyterian back on its feet. They had really gone through, the mill, with their nurses being infected, with the staffing challenges that they had. It was time to let Presbyterian heal. Part of the calculus was that if you did that at a Parkland or Southwestern, you'd have the potential of taking down another major hospital in Dallas if one of those individuals became ill. If you look at the volume at Presbyterian, once Mr. Duncan was diagnosed, they basically lost most of their volume in the emergency room, inpatient care, et cetera. And you really couldn't risk taking down another major hospital.
I wonder about the blame game in all this. It seems like as soon as something like this happens, we as a society are like, who's responsible? Who messed up? And you were in the middle of that some too. Why do you think that so many people are so quick to try to affix blame?
I think that's part of our society. We want to be able to identify this is the cause so that it will never happen again. In the world that I live in, there's uncertainty. And you're dealing with humans, and folks are working as hard as they can. But in many areas, sometimes the guidance isn't perfect. This was the first time ever you had a case of Ebola in a community hospital in the United States. Mm-hmm. And so it shouldn't surprise us that we're going to learn something from that. And I think part of our role is to learn from our experiences so that if there were missteps, or if the people, again, were doing the best they could, but the data wasn't perfect, that we figure out how to do better the next time.
When Thomas Eric Duncan was first diagnosed, the public health system seemed a bit uncertain. Dallas County couldn't get a cleaning crew in to decontaminate the apartment where he stayed. They had trouble getting waste removed. Louisiana refused to accept his incinerated belongings. Why do you think there was so much confusion?
Well, I think a lot of folks were afraid. It hit on many levels. It hit on the cleaning crews and who would come in and who would not. There were a lot of attempts to move the family to another apartment. They couldn't find anybody that would lease their apartment to the government to move those individuals in. And part of that was because they knew that if they did, there'd be the media frenzy right in front of the apartment. I wouldn't underestimate the media impact on the ability to get some things done during this event.
What's the biggest lesson you've learned over the last 6 weeks?
Yeah. I was testifying to Congress not too long ago about this issue, and they asked me one of those things that I've learned. And I think what I've learned in many disaster responses is the importance of humility as you approach these events, that there will be surprises. Your plans are not going to be perfect, and you need to accept that and be willing to change your plan in order to meet the challenge that you face on the ground.
David Lakey's the top health official in Texas. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you.
Most public high schools in Dallas don't measure up. That's according to the latest Texas School Guide released today by Children at Risk, a nonprofit that does education research.
You know, we have over 80% of our schools that are rating a D or an F at the high school level. And, you know, that's really not acceptable.
Bob Sanborn is president and CEO of Children at Risk. He says Fort Worth high schools aren't much better. 70% score a D or F. The ratings from Children at Risk are tougher than the ones the state issues every year. Dallas School Board member Elizabeth Jones used last year's Children at Risk guide so much it's tattered, worn, and written on.
There's always been this presumption that poverty is concentrated only in certain parts of Dallas. And one of the things I discovered looking at the poverty levels at various campuses was that some of our highest concentration of poverty is in North Dallas.
Jones says the guide shows there's a lot of work to do. During winter, visiting the Dallas Arboretum might not seem appealing. You're strolling through a cold garden, which is why the Arboretum thinks big for the holidays. Today, KERA's Drone Weeks got a glimpse of this season's main attraction, a partridge in a pear tree.
The warehouse-sized tent is off in the maintenance area of the Dallas Arboretum. We have to squeeze past 8-foot-tall wooden crates full of spangly colored columns. Workers are sanding them and touching them up. Greg Blackburn is president of Dallas Stage Scenery, which has built sets for the Dallas Opera.
We crated everything when it got built. What we're doing now is uncrating and just doing some fine-tuning work as we're putting them together.
There's more than a week until they open, and what they're putting together are 12 Victorian gazebos encased in glass. Each gazebo illustrates one of the days from the traditional carol, The 12 Days of Christmas, all those lords a-leaping and geese a-laying. The Arboretum has offered holiday attractions before, but the 12 Days of Christmas is a big bet on the drawing power of Victorian glitter. It's a $2 million exhibition that took 2 years to design and build. The plan is it'll be the Arboretum's holiday attraction for 5 years, which is why they called in stage experts. All these gazebos, with their chandeliers and automated mannequins, have to be trucked in and set up. Then in 7 weeks, they come apart and get stowed away.
Everybody should have one of these in their yard, right?
Tommy Bourgeois has designed props and costumes for the Dallas Opera for 26 years. Bourgeois explains that's how he thought of the exhibition when he designed it. He was putting on a show.
This is kind of like designing a really big musical because there's like 50 people you have to dress, a bunch of animals, 12 scenes.
Many of the song lyrics in the 12 Days of Christmas pretty much set the scenes. 8 maids a-milking, you're going to need some cows. But some days are different. With the 5 golden rings, you get an old-fashioned circus act with a dancing bear.
So I was trying to think up something Victorian, something interesting, something not just, you know, rings. And I thought this is more something the kids would really get a bang out of, I hope.
Arboretum patrons Tom and Phyllis McCaslin had the idea of creating a holiday attraction, but not another Santa's Village. Bourgeois was told it should be a Victorian 12 Days of Christmas.
They said, great, because it's my favorite stuff to do.
It's certainly a Victorian fantasy. The gazebos are as ornate as Chinese pagodas. On the other hand, those are real bagpipes. The pipers are piping. To see all 12 gazebos, you'll walk about 3/4 a mile. Greg Blackburn explains, covering that distance, it'd be too long to hear the same Christmas carol over and over.
They thought it'd be overkill doing 12 days, so they tried to find music that was kind of apropos to each gazebo.
So, it's hardly Victorian, but maybe traditional? Jerome Weeks, KERA News.
In the frosty air, what a bright time, it's a right time to rock the night away.
The Arboretum display opens Sunday and runs through January 4th. For the evening, mostly clear skies, a low around 46. Tomorrow should be sunny, high near 68. And tomorrow night, cloudy, low about 50. It's currently 65 degrees in Dallas, 66 in Fort Worth, 61 in Tyler, and 60 in Wichita Falls. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin.